It's pretty amazing to me that when it was 15 degrees below, we had better attendance. I don't know whether I'm thankful for the good weather. I don't know if that means people have to go out and play or whatever they do. So Gwen came to the conclusion that I was getting too much attention. So she decided to fall and throw her shoulder out of line. And boy, was she painful. But thank God, another trip to the ER. I'm tired of going to the ER, but Dr. Weitzinger took a couple x-rays and figured out what to do, and boom, he fixed her up. She was in great pain, and he said, I'll fix you up, and he did. And so she's here this morning, and our daughter is here from Colorado Springs to help take care of Mom. And a little bit of dad. So we're looking forward to the scripture this morning from Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 10. So you can follow along on the screen, or you can open it up in your Bibles. But just before we get into the message, let's pray. Father, we're thankful for Zacchaeus and what we can learn from him and how the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with him. And in some ways, we are all a Zacchaeus, and we need the same kind of information and love and concern from the Lord Jesus Christ. So be with the message this morning, Lord, and help us to apply it to our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And for the tech committee back there, whatever you did last week, a lot of our older people said that they heard better than ever before. So I don't know what you do. Maybe you have to turn something up, turn something down. I don't know what you do. But they were really happy with the sound last week. We should never stop learning from Jesus. We look at a lot of different situations, and we learn from this, and we learn from that. But the bottom line is, we should never stop learning from Jesus. As long as we live, we should never stop learning from Jesus. And when we close our eyes in death, we will not have learned everything that we need to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1,000 lifetimes, we can still learn wonderful truths about the Lord Jesus Christ and how the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with people. And we need to follow that example, because we have opportunity every day to deal with people. Jesus interacted with all aspects of humanity. I want you to keep in that mind. Keep that in mind. There isn't any kind of humanity that the Lord Jesus Christ did not deal with. And when you've been in the ministry as long as we've been in the ministry, we have dealt with about every kind of people there is to deal with. We can go back to South Africa. We can go back to Russia. We can think about Phillipsburg, Kansas. And there's plenty of different things in Phillipsburg, Kansas. For 3 years, Jesus made his presence known by teaching and ministering to those around him. He just didn't sit in his easy chair. He was out there active, interchanging with people. Regardless of where he was, Jesus was interested in bringing people to God. And that's something that we should keep in mind at all times. Jesus was a healer. No question about that. He cleansed lepers, straightened out withered hands, made the paralyzed able to walk, jump, and get excited about who they were. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to those who are mute. Jesus had power over the elements. He could take a couple of fish and feed 5,000 people. So he had power over the elements. He could walk on water. He could say to the storm out there, "Be still." And it happened. I think we underestimate the Lord Jesus Christ. He had thousands who followed him. The King James Bible says that a multitude followed after him. And when he fed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fishes, there were 12 basketfuls left over. His leftovers are generally more than what we start with. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We just need to look for that. Imagine what a wonderful thing that is. Jesus demonstrated God's love in all that he did. Even when he could have easily condemned and judged people, he didn't do that. God's love always shined forth. And he was always anxious to bring people to the Lord. We see that as he dealt with the woman caught in adultery. That's a very interesting passage of Scripture. The Jews, of course, wanted to stone her to death. Isn't it interesting that they always want to stone the woman? What about the man? Why not bring him into this place and stone him? You know, adultery doesn't take place with just one person. But always in the Scripture, it's the woman who gets the stone. The Jews were anxious to do that. When she was caught in adultery, they wanted to stone her immediately. But the Lord Jesus Christ interfered. And when it was over, he said, "Who among you can pick up a stone and throw it?" None of them did. They all walked away. I guess in today's language, we could say that Jesus was a rock star. I'm not sure about that, but I guess that's what we could say. He was a very popular person. He changed thousands of lives. Whenever Jesus went, wherever he went, there were always people's lives that were changed because he was interested in seeing them come to the Lord. He wasn't interested in throwing a stone at a woman caught in adultery. He was interested in bringing her to the Lord. Huh. My goodness. A multitude always followed him. His very actions demanded attention. Simply by who he was and what he did. And that's something for us to follow in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. demonstrating love and kindness to those around us. Sometimes that's very difficult. But if we follow what the Lord Jesus Christ did, that's what we are to do as well. Today we're going to look at Jesus and Zacchaeus. The first passage of scripture we're going to look at this morning is from Luke 19, 1 through 4. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man named Zacchaeus. How many of you, when you were in Sunday school 100 years ago, learned about Zacchaeus? Yeah, some of you did. He was the chief tax collector. Remember, Zacchaeus was a Jew working for the Romans. That put him in a very difficult situation. And he had become very rich. All those tax collectors who worked for Rome did become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus. There was something in his heart that told him that he needed to see Jesus. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short. I don't know how tall he was. I don't know how short he was. But he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Luke 19, 1 through 4. I can tell you the tax collectors were hated. The Jewish people hated a Jew who worked for Rome and collected taxes for Rome, and they could collect taxes for themselves. They could collect $100 for Rome and charge the individual another $100 and put it in their pocket. So over the years, Zacchaeus had become a very wealthy, wealthy person. Wow. Somehow, Zacchaeus knew that there was a problem. He knew that in his own heart, there was something wrong. And his desire was to see Jesus. We live in a world that needs to see Jesus. A world that needs to look into their own heart and say, you know, there's something wrong here. I have this hole in my soul, and the only way that I can get it filled is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Zacchaeus was looking for God a long time before Jesus came to Jericho. What he did, he knew was wrong, but he kept on doing it, and that's pretty much of a tragedy. Zacchaeus had money. He had material things. He had the biggest house on the block. He probably had the fanciest chariot. He had everything that a lot of people think makes them happy. If they have plenty of money, plenty of prestige, they're going to be A-okay. But they're not, because in their own soul, they know that there's something really missing. And I think we need to think about that ourselves today. My question this morning is, what is your need? I've thought a great deal about that. Have you come to the point where you honestly understand that you need Jesus? Now, that doesn't mean that we can't express our needs to the Lord. We can do that. In fact, we're encouraged to do it in the Scripture. But in the end, our need is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can look to a lot of different things. Our situation in the community. Some people like to be involved in 100 things. But what we really need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happened with Zacchaeus. He had needs, but he came looking for Jesus, looking to learn more about him, and thus be filled with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and have his joy and his peace. He didn't understand that at that point, but that's what he was looking for. He had a lot of other needs, and he probably mentioned those needs. You have needs. I don't want to ask you what your needs are this morning. You already know what they are. But ultimately, all your needs can be taken care of in Jesus Christ. So, we're all in some ways like Zacchaeus. We need Jesus Christ. And that's what Zacchaeus really needed. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to get a look at Jesus. And he was a short little man. I don't know how tall or how short. But he couldn't see over the crowd. So he climbed a sycamore tree so that he could see the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you sense your need? What really is your need? Do you believe that your need is the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? If you will be honest and look within yourself, do you see what your need is? Do you finally come to the conclusion with all the other things that you might come up with that in the end your real need is Jesus Christ? Wow. Well, there's another passage of Scripture that we want to look at. When Jesus came by, he looked up and called, "Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Wow. Well, if I come to your place and I say, "Hey, I'm going to have lunch with you today," you probably say, "No, you're not." Because that we don't think this way. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house. In great excitement and joy. Get that. Great excitement and joy. He's taking Jesus to his house. But here's the big but. The people were displeased. That's always the case. The Jews were displeased. Anybody who knew what was going on was displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. See, that's how the Jews looked at these tax collectors. A notorious sinner. You know what they did? They grumbled. We are probably the most grumbling people on the face of the earth. We can always find something to grumble about. I've been in the ministry a long time, and I've been grumbled at by a lot of different people. Doesn't make any difference what you do. Whether you do good or whether you do bad, you're going to get grumbled at. Somebody's going to grumble at you. And boy, were they anxious to grumble about Zacchaeus. And they were especially anxious to grumble about the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he was going to have lunch with a notorious sinner. You can't do that, according to the religious leaders of that day. But Jesus reached out to Zacchaeus. Jesus reaches out to all of us. We're no different than Zacchaeus. We all have our little bailiwick problems. But the Lord Jesus Christ reaches out to us. Isn't it interesting that whenever Jesus came across a situation like the woman caught in adultery, he didn't mention the fact that she was an adulteress. He wanted to help her change her life. And that's what I find out in the New Testament. Whenever Jesus came across a situation, he didn't name their sins. He named the fact that they needed to know God. And that was his purpose. Not to condemn them. Not to say, hey, don't you know that this is wrong? Don't you know that the other thing is wrong? Don't you know what you say is wrong? No, he never did that. He always wanted to bring them to the Lord, to God. And that should be our point too. We can find it so easy to condemn the bum on the corner, begging for money. We could grumble about that. The prostitute, we could grumble about that. The druggie, we could grumble about that. The homosexual, we could grumble about that. The adulterer, we could grumble about that. The thief, we could grumble about that. The murderer, we could grumble about that. The child molester, we could grumble about that. Jesus met all of these situations, but he didn't say, you are a child molester. He said, you need God. And that was always his focus. He didn't set them aside and name their sins one by one. But we tend to do the other thing. We tend to grumble. And we tend to see every little speck in somebody else's life. But we don't really see the specks in our own lives. Maybe it comes a little closer to your home. Maybe you have a family member who has a difficult personality. And you'd like to change that personality. And maybe he makes fun of your beliefs. There are people in every family who make fun of your beliefs. What are you supposed to do? Grumble. No. Live such a life that they want to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The neighbor who doesn't seem to care about how his place looks, what do you do about that? You keep your yard in pristine order, but you have a neighbor who doesn't care whether he mows the grass or not. So what are you supposed to do? Jesus would have gone and tried to bring them into a relationship with God. He wouldn't have said, hey, don't you know that your yard is a real mess? Don't you know that your grass needs to be mowed? Don't you know that the weeds need to be pulled? That's not the way the Lord would have taken care of that situation. He would have taken care of it by bringing them to God, or at least make that effort to bring them to God. Great difference. Zacchaeus in our lives will not come running to see Jesus. Most people don't come running to see Jesus. That's why we have the Great Commission, because most people will not come as Zacchaeus came. We have to go. That's why the Great Commission is given to us. Go forth and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the ones who have been given the responsibility to go, not to sit, not to wait, but to go. Are you ready to go? Amen. Well, I got one amen out of that. I don't know what else to do. We're called to go. We're called to seek the lost, to let them know that the one who loves and forgives and wants the very best for them is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. People may give you the impression that they don't need God. They are self-sustaining. But the fact remains, they do indeed have a deep void in their life. They just don't want to let you know. Their hearts are seeking a peace that the things of this world simply cannot fulfill. You can have as much, and here's what happened with Zacchaeus. He was so touched by his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that he said, I'm going to give everything back. I'm going to give it all to the poor. And he said, if I've cheated anybody, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to restore fourfold. Something happened in the life of Zacchaeus, a wealthy man who had all that he needed from that perspective. But he decided that he would give it all back. And wow, that's an indication that he was truly converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus never met one single person he did not want to see saved. We meet a lot of people. Is the attitude that we have about those people, I want you to be saved. I want you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have the Great Commission, because these people aren't going to come and climb a sycamore tree and say, Jesus, I'm so glad you're going to come to my house today. Well, how many people have you met this week that you could have shared the gospel with? Jesus came to reveal God to the world, to bring salvation and redemption to each and every person. We all need that. And sometimes we get sidetracked with all the things that the world offers. It's easy to get sidetracked. But do we genuinely welcome everyone into our church and make them feel welcome? I hope that we do that. Here's what the scripture says. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor. Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Luke 19, verses 8 through 9. Wow. Jesus brought a new life to Zacchaeus. And Jesus can do the same for each and every one of us. And for those outside, we know who need the Lord Jesus Christ. After he met Jesus, Zacchaeus was changed. From the inside out, he saw that God was loving and that he was important to God. Now, what Jesus could have done, he could have said, you've done this wrong, you've said this wrong, you've collected this tax too much, he could have just made this big, long list of the things that Zacchaeus had done wrong. He can make a list on you. He can make a list on me. But that's not what he's interested in. He isn't interested in the list. He's interested in our relationship to him. So forget the list. We tend to think about the list too much. I did this wrong. I said that wrong. Wow. Look at who Zacchaeus was. And look at how Jesus changed him. He changed his core being. He was not the same person anymore. And that's what should happen when we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. He would repay them four times what he had cheated them. And he knew who he had cheated. He had his list too. So how else would he know who to go to and say, I'm going to give you four times what I cheated from you? You see, God radically changes us. Everything about us is changed by the Lord. When we truly allow him to come into our hearts, our soul, and our mind, we are changed. Not an easy thing, I agree to that. But look at what the scripture says. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's your responsibility and my responsibility. So that's how this applies to us. We are the ones responsible to go out and seek and save that which is lost. We are Christ's voice in a desperate world. I had a young man come and talk to me this morning about the difference between Israel and Hamas. I was so impressed that a young man would even think about that difference and want to know the difference between Israel and Hamas. We can share his love with the world around us. We can share how Jesus had cured our sin-sick world. And boy, it is a sin-sick world. And I don't know where else would you go to take care of the sin-sick world? I don't know where else you'd go. Go to psychology. Go to technology. I've had lots of psychology. It isn't going to cure a sin-sick world. The only person I know who can cure a sin-sick world is the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to be willing to lay down before him and say, Lord, I need you. When we model the love of Christ before the world, many will turn just like Zacchaeus and give their hearts to the Lord. When we model the love of Christ, the world will notice. What does the world notice about First Christian Church in Peaburg? The people around us are the harvest. They are the Zacchaeuses which God has placed in our lives. As believers, each one of us can make a difference in the life of another person by sharing the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the voice for Jesus right where we live. So this week, as you leave, think about who you need to talk to. There's somebody out there. We don't want to go to them and complain. We don't want to go to them and say, you did this wrong, you said that wrong. But that's how we tend to approach things. But that's not the way Jesus did it. He met people every day who he could make a list of their wrongs, but he didn't do that. He never mentioned the wrongs. He only mentioned the fact that they needed to know God. I know that that's difficult. There's no question about it. But that's where we are, following Zacchaeus, having him come to our house today, and listening to all the belly achers, because that's what's going to happen. Praise the Lord for Jesus and his love for Zacchaeus. Come on down here, Zacchaeus. I want to go to your house today. Oh, my goodness. If we did that with somebody, they'd say, get out of here, you crazy person. But we have a true account of Zacchaeus, who had a hole in his soul and needed to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So our hymn of invitation this morning is a beautiful hymn. My Savior's love. What is there any better than the Savior's love? So we're going to stand and sing that hymn of invitation. And listen, if you, like Zacchaeus, need to know Christ this morning, why would you hesitate? Why would you say, well, later? You know, I can tell you, I came awful close to death a few weeks ago. And you never know when you're going to die. And you want to make sure that you have a right relationship with the Lord. Because you can't do it once you close your eyes in death. It's over. So if you need a relationship with the Lord this morning, don't be afraid to come forward and say, yeah, I want to know Christ as my Savior. I can help you know Christ as your Savior. I know what to do. And if you need that, don't be afraid. Nobody here is going to condemn you. They're going to joyfully be with you. So let's sing our hymn of invitation.